CGC.
Thanks, Steve. I have three things to disclose. One, I am not Lewis Krauss. The second is that at the bottom of the slide, the findings and conclusions in this presentation have not been officially cleared for dissemination by CDC, and they don't represent the CDC policy. And third is that I have no financial or commercial relationships to disclose. So in 2007, the Institute of Medicine published The Future of Disability in America. And one of the recommendations was the establishment of a disability and health office in the Office of the Director at CDC. And the Disability and Rehabilitation Research Coalition picked up on this recommendation. And as a result, Dr. Tom Frieden in May of last year, 2010, established a Disability and Health Working Group, designated me as the Chief Disability Officer at CDC, and it's, the activity is jointly located in the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities and in the CDC Office of the Director in the Office of the Associate Director for Program. The main purpose of this is to mainstream disability into CDC's surveillance, prevention, health promotion, and protection activities. And we've got a number of objectives. And the first is to ensure that people with disabilities are included in CDC surveillance programs. If you're not seen at CDC, you don't exist. So it's important that we get into as many surveillance programs as we can. Two is to implement policies to include people with disabilities in CDC-funded public health programs. And first up on that is to get disability inclusion language into funding opportunity announcements for non-research program activities. So these would be health promotion activities, communication activities, and those sorts of things at CDC. In addition to getting into the language of the funding opportunity announcements, we want to ensure that we are represented in the procedures for developing these FOAs, as well as into the criteria for review of applications. We want to promote policies that increase the accessibility of healthcare and public health programs for people with disabilities, improve the accessibility of health, public health communications, educate the workforce that of the needs of people with disabilities and how to make programs accessible, increase collaboration with external organizations regarding disabilities and health issues, and to improve the science related to public health. And this is sort of a natural follow-up to Margaret's presentation, I think. So as a result, we developed a proposal for consideration and put it out through the National Network of Public Health Institutes, basically to review the recommended interventions in CDC's Guide to Community Preventive Services, to assess the recommended interventions in the guide that are developed through systematic reviews of evidence by the U.S. Preventive Service Task Force. And the award went to the Public Health Institute of Oakland, California, and this is Lewis Krauss, and he's going to talk about what the Public Health Institute is doing.
Thanks, Vince, and I have no financial relationship to disclose. I think we can all be pretty happy about the fact that this is an effort here to look into how people with disabilities are included in the community guide. I think it's a very exciting thing, development, and really does follow on what Margaret was saying, that there's not a whole lot there, so we need to really look at what's happening for people with disabilities in these efforts. So the purpose of our project then was to assess the recommended interventions for people with disabilities that is in the community guide. And we're going to be doing, we started in April and we'll be going until next April. So we're about halfway through, so I don't have complete results to tell you about. The end product will be a report on which which recommendations do apply and how they apply, or if not, how we can adapt those and recommendations for adapting those, and a draft plan for action. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the community guide, or everybody familiar with the community guide? Anybody not familiar with the community guide? Okay. maybe a couple. Okay. So you can actually go and see it on the website, and it's at the community.guide. You can just put it into Google. It's the first one that comes up. And there are about 15 different topics that we're looking at. I think the community guide actually has a little bit more than 15 topics. And they go over all these classic public health areas, obesity, physical activity, nutrition, alcohol, violence, tobacco, social environment, cancer, mental health, vaccines, diabetes, oral health, HIV, STIs, pregnancy, and adolescent health and motor vehicles. And within each of those areas, they make recommendations where they have looked at evidence-based results in any of these areas and looked at things that have worked. And they make recommendations. Either they're recommended, they're strongly recommended, or they're recommended against. And the recommendations tend to be aimed at a variety of different people. First, there's recommendations aimed at the individual. For example, in obesity, there's a recommendation to reduce screen time. So the language would be out there to, you know, reduce your screen time. This will help with obesity. Some of the recommendations are aimed at providers. Like, for example, in cancer, there would be a prevention recommendation to give provider reminders within the patient records, like stickers or whatnot, so that the provider remembers to make recommendations to the patient for screenings. Some of the recommendations are aimed at the community, so things like fluoridating the water in their community, or preventing youth from going into from being able to buy tobacco or alcohol in your community. And some of the recommendations are policy-oriented, like not having youth be incarcerated within the adult prison system. So there's about 90 recommendations that we are looking at. And the way we are going about this is we're looking through the literature and have looked back through from papers from 1980 through 2011, and we've looked through several electronic databases, including Medline and EBSCOhost and Academic Search Complete and Google Scholar and PubMed. We are doing key informant interviews, and we're trying to get about two researchers or program people per topic, plus an ADA specialist to give the perspective of how any of these program recommendations might fit within what the Americans with Disabilities Act would ask for. And we're having focus groups of people with disabilities where we're having three groups of about 10 people each. And some of the preliminary things that we are finding, some of which, for those of you who have been in disability for a long time, will not be surprising. For those of you who are just in the public health world, this may be interesting for you. The intervention literature, of course, is pretty limited for many health topics, and that's what Margaret was really saying. And where there are studies, if you look at what they're trying to establish within the community guide, where they are random control trials and whatnot, there's really not that in the disability literature. There are a few studies that are based on specific disabilities, but there's not a lot of them. So there are things, there's not solid bodies of knowledge within any disability type. So there are clusters of things, like, for example, on obesity, there's lots of studies on intellectual disabilities and Downs, but not so much on those using wheelchairs. Some of the specific needs include caregivers and parents for those with intellectual disabilities and group homes for nutritional act approaches. So there's a variety of things, but they're specific but not really solid. Some of the key informants are really stressing that the accessibility needs to be understood by the non-disability professionals. So accessibility issues are really missed in the studies. So, for example, transportation, as you know, is often overlooked, and the issues of actually you can make this recommendation to have somebody go to a particular program or cut the hours of alcohol or tobacco sales, but if you're not taking into account the transportation issues of getting there or the times when you can get to a particular place, this tends to be not really thought and is overlooked. Also, there are clear ADA issues in a lot of the recommendations for the providers. The recommendations will work for people with disabilities if there's accessible communication, like notices, the commercials, they're all accessible in paper, in video, in whatever format they're being recommended. If the facilities being recommended are physically accessible, and it may or may not be surprising to you that many of the facilities for healthcare professionals may not be actually accessible. And if the program itself includes accommodations, so if you can provide an equivalent service for a person with a disability as you are recommending for those with no disability. So that's kind of the quick level of where we are with that, and that report will go through a process, and it'll come out in April, and if that might be internal only or less, but okay. And if you have more information, you can contact me, and that's my contact information, or Vince, and that's Vince's contact information.
Thank you very much.